the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein from all of us, inshallah. One of the lines that we have in Ziyarat Ashura, which is, by the way, is Ziyara that we are to read and recite according to the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq that he mentioned to Alqama, found in Kamilu Ziyarat and also Misbah al-Mutahajjid of Sheikh al-Tusi. The Imam tells Alqama, he asks for a ziyara, or for words rather, because ziyara means to visit. There's a recommendation, salam alaikum, there's a recommendation to visit Imam al-Hussein on the day of Ashura. And Alqama asks, what words should I use to speak to the Imam? What should I say to Sayyid al-Shuhada when I visit him? Imam al-Sadiq explains or gives him these words. And then he says, if you are there, then so be it. If you're not in Karbala, still you can use the same words, and he explains how to do it. And then he says, do this every day. There's a recommendation to recite this ziyara, read this ziyara, addressing Imam al-Hussein on a daily basis, which tells us that what is contained in this, the message in the ziyara, is very important. Whatever needs to be repeated on a regular basis, that means it's a concept, it is a teaching that needs to be repeated for it to become part of us. One of the lines that is repeated twice in the ziyarah is إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَرَبَكُمْ. The second time when it's mentioned, there is an additional 2 points or 2 sentences. وَوَلِيٌّ لِمَنْ وَالَاكُمْ وَعَدُوٌّ لِمَنْ عَادَاكُمْ. The first time it's mentioned, there's an additional point there too. Not another sentence that we are asserting something, but rather we say, إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَرَبَكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, until the day of judgment. There's a reason why this has been being mentioned here. There's a reason why we are told to repeat this. There's a reason why we need to be reminded of this. That means, if we don't repeat this, if we don't remind ourselves of this, there's a danger of us not adhering to what these couple of lines are telling us. So we need to understand what this is. We need to understand what we are told to repeat, to make part of our identity. Recite a salawat, please. The brief translation, the simple have of these lines is, Inni silmun, I am at peace with. Liman salamakum, whoever is at peace with you, whoever is not causing trouble to you, I am silm towards them. If anybody is at peace with you, I am at peace with them. And the second line is, وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَرَبَكُمْ. If there's anyone that's not at peace with you, they're at war with you, they're fighting you, I am fighting them. حَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَرَبَكُمْ. These aren't words to be said about a historic context. This should be understood. This is not a religious ritual that we are to repeat that will have an impact on the hereafter, without it having an impact in this world, besides just saying it. Let me elaborate on that a bit. We have certain things we need to repeat, and they don't have a direct implication in our lives. Rather, they have an indirect. They have a lot of implications in this material life. And generally speaking, whatever is said in religion has an impact in this world and then in the hereafter. It's not without an effect, without an impact here. But sometimes it's a direct and sometimes it's an indirect effect. For example, we are told to repeat Alhamdulillah. We're told to repeat Subhanallah. We're told to repeat La ilaha illallah. We're told to repeat Allahu Akbar. And just the wajib prayer, how many times do you repeat those lines? The mustahab dhikrs that we have after the prayer, add those. How many times do we repeat these? And then the additional recommendations that we have, how many times do we repeat these? Now when you say La ilaha illallah, there's no God but Allah. Or you're believing, you're asserting, you are pronouncing what you should be believing, what we should be believing in our hearts. We are saying it. Now, there's a reason why we're saying that. What's the direct implication of that? Well, it seems like, okay, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are considering Him to be the only one that is worthy of worship. There's a lot of indirect, many. In fact, as we have hadith, all of religion can be summarized in La ilaha illallah. Everything. All of what we do, all of the actions, all of the do's and the don'ts, whether they are recommended or they are wajib, in our personal lives, family lives, social, political lives, occupation, every moment of our life will be impacted, will be affected if we say that and it actually has that impact on our heart. It means that I'm going to, in every minute, every second, every split second of my life, consider Him to be my Lord and I be His servant, I be His slave, I am worshiping Him, I am doing what He wants. So my entire thought process is, what should I even think of now? What should I feel right now? What should I say? Should I say anything at all? To whom? And so on and so forth. Based on what understanding? Based on the understanding, what does He want? All of these are indirect implications of the reminder of La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah has a similar situation, and other adhkar that we have in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are similar. They have an impact in this life. It's indirect. The words themselves don't seem to be having that very clear and direct impact here. When it comes to إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَلَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَرَبَكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, this isn't something that will be said now and we think about it in a historic context, and then just saying that is going to have some sort of spiritual effect without it materializing in any way in this life. It has a meaning. If you just pay attention to that meaning that we just suggested, it'll be clear. It has a very practical meaning. إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَلَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَرَبَكُمْ. There are those who are سِلْم لِلْإِمَامِ. There are those who are at peace with the Imam. And there are those who are at war with the Imam. If anyone's at peace with the Imam, I'm at peace with them. If anyone's at war with the Imam, I'm at war with them. The second line, when it is mentioned in Ziyarat Ashura, the continuation. وَوَلِيٌّ لِمَنْ وَلَاكُمْ. If there's anyone that has your wilayah, I am their wali as well. I am close to them. I have love for them. And we are one community with them. That's the concept of wilayah. وَلِيٌّ لِمَنْ وَلَاكُمْ. وَعَدُوُّ لِمَنْ عَدَاكُمْ. If there's anyone who is not even at war, the first line says, حَرْبُ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ سِلْمُ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ. There are those who are adu of the imam, but they're not at war. They're not at harb. They're not fighting the imam. They're at peace, but they are enemies of the imam. We have had those. The imam, during the 10 years of his imamah, before the event of Ashura and Karbala, Muawiyah was his enemy. Was he fighting him? No, there was no harb going on. But was he his wali or his adu? He was his adu. He's the enemy of the imam. The enmity of Muawiyah against Imam al-Husayn. The animosity that the Umayyads had against the rest of the imams. There was no harb besides Imam al-Husayn and Amir al-Mu'mineen who fought battles and Imam Hassan who prepared for a battle. The rest of the imams didn't have harb. Harb means war, meaning military conflict. Well, that didn't happen. But there's adu. It's not enough. If somebody's at sin, okay, as long as you are not fighting them, I'm not going to fight you either. But what about my relationship in terms of having love, having a relation? What's my thought process? Other things that I might do. The enemy of the imam may not have an outright war, a military conflict with the imam, but everything he does is war in a different way with the imam. For example, Muawiyah killed a number of the great companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen after his shahada and after the treaty, although one of the conditions in the treaty of Imam al-Mujtaba with Muawiyah was that he will not go after and assassinate the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's one of the things he did. Another act of aggression against the Ahlul Bayt was the Sab. He used to promote, we've all heard this, this is an act of aggression, but not military conflict. The aggression is in teaching people to hate Ali ibn Abi Talib and his children, the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. So there's four lines. I'm at peace with whomever is at peace with you. I'm at war with whomever is at war with you. I am a friend and a wali of anyone who befriends you and is your wali. And I am an enemy of whomever is your enemy. And the first time it's mentioned, إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is what it means. Okay. When it means this, can it be something that was said at the time of Imam al-Sadiq? He's the one who mentioned it. Imam al-Husayn didn't teach anyone that. It's not during the time of Imam al-Husayn. This was said afterwards. Whom? Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi. He said it. Okay. When Imam al-Sadiq is teaching Alqama to say this, can Imam al-Sadiq say these words, I'm at peace with someone who is passed away, who's not in this world? I'm at peace with whomever is at peace with someone who's passed away. Well, he's not here for me to be at peace with them or not be at peace with them. They're not around. Nobody has peace or war with them. Is this understood? He's been martyred already. What peace? What war? Why is Imam al-Sadiq saying these words? There's difference. Again, if you want to praise, the second lines too, that's understandable. Okay, whoever loves you after his shahada, there are people who love him. إِنِّي مُحِبٌّ لِمَنْ أَحَبَّكُمْ. I love whomever loves you. Oh, that makes sense. He's passed. But that line makes sense. سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَلَمَكُمْ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَلَمَكُمْ. سِلْم. What peace? What war? There's no peace or war for someone who's already been martyred. Why would Imam al-Sadiq put that line there? The reason why I'm emphasizing this, I'm taking time here, I want us to think and ponder my understanding of the, I think I can say, the majority of the Shia community, when we read these lines, we understand it in a historic context. We understand it as a ritual. We understand it as something to just say there's rewards. Is that the objective? Is this why Imam al-Sadiq taught Alqamah this? Why say something that has a practical implication that is not going to have a practical implication? If we pay attention, I think we do, sometimes maybe we just don't want to see what that means, because it has repercussions at times. And we're not ready for those consequences. If you understand what that means in the historic context too, we can understand why the Imam, this is where we started, we are told to repeat these lines. We are told to repeat these lines, right? Why? Because those who followed the Ahlul Bayt did not go by these words at the time that they should have. إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَلَمَكُمْ. When the Ahlul Bayt were at peace, do you have the right to go and fight a war against those that the Imam has accepted to have peace with? Imam al-Mujtaba accepted the treaty. There were those of his companions that said he went wrong. They wanted to go and fight Muawiyah. Sulmun liman sulm. Adawa, animosity, it's a different thing. Silm, peace. If the Imam says we have peace, we have peace. There are times the Imam says peace, some of us don't want to have peace. We've had this in history. It has actually happened. And don't think that this is something okay in the past. Again, think about these things. History is something for us to learn from. We have that opportunity. It's before us. We have been given this information and we've been given these lines of ziyarah to repeat so we can think. Our mind and our heart can be ready for it. Don't think you can sit here and condemn people of the past, feel bad about what they did, and then think that we are exempt from that, or we are exceptions to that, or we are doing great. Should never think that way. Should always be afraid. Al-'ayadu billah. 1 second, Ya Allah, you leave me. That's on the Salem part. The Harb. Harbul liman harabakum. These were the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt. Didn't fight. They didn't fight against those that were fighting. They were at war with Imam al-Husayn. Muslim ibn Aqil was the representative of the Imam. He came to Kufa. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad came after him. 18,000 people, you've heard all of this. This is not new. But when he set to fight, and they did have a battle, it was abandoned. They didn't fight. Harbul liman harabakum. They fought. They started the war. Muslim was fighting back. They had a battle. They didn't do muharaba. We we're supposed to be reading these lines, thinking about it today. If there is a harab today, what are we going to do? Are we going to do harbun liman harabakum or not? What's the point of saying it if we're not going to do it? What's the point of saying it if we're not preparing ourselves mentally, psychologically, and spiritually? If we're not preparing ourselves, what's the use of this? So when these words are said, if you pay attention, it says, Ya Abu Abdullah, inni salmun liman salamakum. See the Ahlul Bayt. When Imam al-Sadiq is giving Alqama this ziyara, this is part of the move of the Ahlul Bayt, the movement of the Ahlul Bayt. Imam al-Sadiq cannot give wording for the Shia and the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt to repeat where they say to him, Inni silmun liman salamak, wa harbun liman harabak, wa waliyun liman walak, wa aduun liman adak. Situation of taqiyya here. He's under, they can't say, about history that can be said. About the historic context that can be said. But to say it in the context of Imam al-Sadiq, where he is leading a movement, Imam al-Sadiq is teaching his companions to say this in regards to Imam al-Husayn, but use the kum there and intend by it, and when, especially when you have ila yawm al-qiyamah, implying, implicitly putting this. This is for today. My companions, this should be your thought process. Right now we're at Silm, but whenever the harb occurs, harbun liman harabakum. This is for the Ahlul Bayt. The line of the Ahlul Bayt, the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, never died, brothers and sisters. I've said this before, and we will continue to say it, because unfortunately, we the followers of the Ahlul Bayt are not realizing that throughout this time, we have constantly been part of a movement, or rather I should say that the imams had have led a movement that never stopped. The occultation was not the end of the movement. It was not a pause in the movement. We do not have pauses in imamah, and we don't have pauses in being followers. If the imam is an imam, which he is, that means he is a leader, not will be a leader. He is a leader. He has been a leader. That means he has led. He is leading. There are followers. We need to be followers. Okay? Now, if that is the case, that movement is alive, that movement is there, and that line, Inni silmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum, will continue ila yawm al-qiyamah, without a gap, without a pause, ila yawm al-qiyamah. If the movement of the Ahlul Bayt continues ila yawm al-qiyamah, which it will, it has up to this point, and it will continue until the Day of Judgment, then that movement is either at silm or at harb. And with that movement led by the imams, there are those who are fighting it, then you need to be at war with them. This is not about the future, brothers and sisters. This is about today. It's not about the past. It's not about the future. You won't be judged for something you haven't done. And you're not going to be judged for something others did or didn't do. This is today. If the movement continues, think about those premises.
See if we understand them. I hope I can get this across. I can bring us to realize this is real. This is not some, I'm not here to try to get some entertainment in or to make a point that people are like, wow, I never heard that. It doesn't matter if a person has heard something or they haven't heard that. We're not here to impress anyone. We're here to understand facts that concern us, that are important to us, that will make us servants to Allah, that will make us ibad of Allah, or make us disobedient. We need to understand what will make us a companion currently of the Imam of our time, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif wa ruhi lahu al-fida, and what will make us not be part of that. If we are negligent of these facts, the movement is there. I am negligent of it. I am oblivious. I don't see it. It's there. I don't see it. That's my problem. I won't join it. We're not making this point except because we see crystal clear everything in Islam. Every line about the imams, every teaching about the concept of imam and the need for it to continue, the need for it to be without gaps, the need for the imam to have been born at that particular time and for him to be the imam without a gap, without a pause, tells us that this movement has never stopped. Imam al-Sadiq is teaching all of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt to learn from that example of Karbala. When you remember Imam al-Hussein, you see what happened there. Now you say, I am not going to be like the ones who didn't. I'm not going to be like the ones who didn't want to be at Silm with those that you were at Silm with, you at peace with. And I don't want to be like those who didn't choose to be at war with those who were at war with you. In the current context, for Imam al-Sadiq's time, his time, his situation, his a'da, his enemies, his friends, the people he was at peace with, he's teaching the movement for that time onwards. For us today, identify the movement is living. It is here. It is the movement of the Ahlul Bayt. And it chooses, based on the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, to be at Silm with some. And then there's others who choose to be at Harb, at war with the movement of the Ahlul Bayt. If they choose to be at war, what is your choice? What's our choice? What are we going to do? What are we doing? Are we at harb? Look at the world through this understanding. Look at current affairs with this understanding. Where is the movement of the imam? Do you see it or do you not see it? Do you see the ulama who learned from the Ahlul Bayt leading that movement? Do you see others being at harb with the movement? At war with the movement? What's our situation? Are we at harb with them? Are we not at harb with them? Where is our wilaya? Do we have that wilaya? وَلِيٌّ لِمَنْ وَلَاكُمْ. Whoever has your wilaya, I have my wilaya with them. Do we have that? Wilaya is gradational. There's different levels of wilaya. The closeness of the heart, the closeness of one's thoughts, the closeness of one's actions to the Ahlul Bayt. to the imams. There are those who are closer, there are those who are further away. Is my wilaya towards the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt globally? Is it based on that gradational understanding and realizing that there are those who are resembling the thoughts, the words, the actions of the Ahlul Bayt and their love for the Ahlul Bayt based on what we see from them is stronger, they're closer. Do we have a closer wilayah with them? God forbid, do we not have wilayah, or at times we have enmity? We have grudges. We can't be indifferent about these issues. If we are, we're not implementing Ziyarat Ashura today. It's not for 1400 years ago. If you realize what the Imam is saying, again, put all those points that were mentioned to perspective, you will realize we got some serious thinking to do. And perhaps we may need to change some of the ways we are making decisions. Recite a salawat, please. Let's move forward with the discussion. I hope we have a common understanding. Whether you accept it or not is something you need to think about it. At least we understand what's being said. Well, you'll think about it, inshallah, with your own wisdom, with the intellect that God has given you. Think about it and then refer to the sources, refer to that ziyarah, refer to of the rebels against God. Of Saudi Arabia. Okay. And they said, according to some reports, that split the production of oil in Saudi in half. And you know, that just doesn't hurt the Saudis, that hurts the whole world. meaning the West.
Okay.
Because that's how they see the world. That is the world to them. They're really, really upset. Okay. They're doing good, alhamdulillah. Is everybody fighting? No, not everybody's fighting. They don't need everybody to fight.
If there's need for people, they have them. Is everybody? Do we need to be at war? No.
Why? Because there's enough people that are fighting. The battle, if you go back in history, similarly, did Amir al-Mu'mineen want everybody to go to the Battle of Safin? No. He had 45,000 people. That was plenty, although Muawiyah had 75,000 people. Amir al-Mu'mineen was kicking tails over there. They were winning. And unfortunately, at the end, they pulled off a trick. Everybody. Enough to so we're not only looking in war.
This verse. Whoever has عدوٌ لمن make a difference. New York Times or Washington Post or NPR or any of that, the way they word it is different, but they all are spewing it. That's adawa. Okay, theirs is visible. This says you are supposed to repeat, which means we need to create this in our minds, in our hearts, for it to translate into action. Their adawa is visible. Where's our adawa back? Adawa. Adawa and animosity towards their animosity, this is hypocrisy. This is exactly what happened in Kufa. This is exactly what we condemn in Muharram. Yes, people are like, well, you know, I'd rather not come to this masjid or to this speaker, to whatever. Your choice. People had that choice with Muslim as well. They decided to leave.
Them. Law of the land. Really? Well, the law of Yazid was to go and kill Hussein. That was the law of the land. Are you going to go by that? Join Hussein. Even if you want to join his enemies and go kill him, don't join Hussein. You want to go by that? What type of wilayah do you have? You don't talk about it. And then when they mention it, al-ayadu billah, la ilaha illallah. I remember this, it just burns me. 2006 war against Hezbollah, against the believers, against mu'mineen there. A sayyid in mentioned. I don't know if God can forgive him.
He wanted to be with us. He said, yes, if he wanted to be with us, he is with us. Not him, those that will. They are with us. Believers to come, they are with us. Want, not like. Practical implication again there. If we do this, then we will be with Imam al-Husayn. Burn us. Throw the ashes in the air. Bring us back to life. Repeat that 70 times, 700 times, thousands of times. We will not leave you. We want to give it to you, for you. So feeling what that means. Just right now, I'm not sure if I feel that. I admire it. But can I say it and mean it? Sometimes I wonder, I think maybe I mentioned this before as well, I wonder. You see these great people, they saw, it's not a joke, 30,000 people waiting to kill you. You stand up. Strong, go to them, announce your name. This is who I am and this is who I follow. And I'm here to take anyone who wants to come forward. You know what's going to come your way. Recite salawat, please. Would I do that? If the Imam tells me stand before him, he asks for volunteers. See, this is how the Ahlul Bayt are. He doesn't say, you need to stand in front of me, take the bullets for me. He said, we want to pray. They're not going to allow us. Would anyone stand and protect those who want to pray? Would I volunteer? Knowing that obviously, you know, there's thousands upon thousands of people with plenty of spears and arrows. They don't even have to come with a sword. And if they would, how much is this shield going to take?
Naturally, I know that means I'm going to be taking some of that with my body. Would I have the guts to volunteer? To do that? Would I love to do that like they did? If we start implementing this wilaya and we start at whatever level we can, start realizing the movement, what they're doing, what we need to do, siding with them, the enemies, show that animosity, return the adawah of the a'da of the Ahlul Bayt, the animosity against the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. You don't want to be the friends of the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. You don't want to be indifferent either. The ziyarah teaches us, adawun liman adakum. If they're not, then okay, that's fine. The Quran tells us as well. That's why we're saying the general public here, they're not showing adawah. They're not hating on and they're not enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. That's fine. The administration, they're a'da adu. They're the greatest enemy. If you start doing this and they start coming after you, you start feeling it, then you can experience it. You can see, will I or will I not? And we hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us. I know I'm not capable. If He doesn't take us, we're not able to do that. We ask Him, we beg Him, that when that time comes, when it is already here, this is what I'm trying to suggest. Part of it is already here, but some of it isn't. No, we're not at that outright war where we have to go and fight like that. It starts coming by defaming, them coming and speaking to your word, get rid of this guy, what am I going to do next? And things like that, they do all of these things. Banning you from traveling, putting you on no-fly lists. And what are you going to do? Like, give up? Or are you going to continue? Like, alhamdulillah, I'm glad that I have just a tiny bit of resemblance to those who sacrificed for Imam al-Hussein. Because I was able to sacrifice just a little bit. Give me more, Ya Allah. We hope that He gives us that, inshallah. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الواقع وما عدنا وخزان العلم ومنتهى الحلم May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you day in and day out. Sallallahu alayka ya عبد الله
صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed Imam. The Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ya Aba Abdillah, Ruhi Fidak, Ruhi Fidak. I wish Abbas was able to bring some water back to the tent. I wish the children would have received some water from Abbas. I wish they would have seen their uncle again before he was martyred, because now the children feel guilty. They keep telling their aunt, I wish we hadn't asked for water. We want our uncle back. Ya Allah, if Abbas, our uncle, was with us, they wouldn't have the audacity to beat on our aunt. No one would be feeling safe to come towards the children. Ya Allah, we don't have too many accounts from the children. But just think about it, these are perhaps some of the thoughts of the children of the Ahlul Bayt. I don't know how they treated them. Imagine the daughters of Imam al-Husayn. They haven't seen their father. They would mention him and cry, we want our father. Oh, father, where did you go? But probably think of those ruthless men. If they would see these children crying and wanting their father, what would they do to them? Think about that child after such a long time, now in Kufa, without their aunt Zainab being able to put her hand before their eyes. They see Imam al-Husayn's head on a spear being taken around town. Ruhi fidak ya Mawla. Imagine them asking for their father and the mal'oons hitting on them, beating on them. Ya Allah, what happened to the family of the Ahlul Bayt? Ya Allah, only you know what they went through. Imagine Zainab wanting to help everyone there in the absence of Imam al-Husayn, in the absence of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and all the men. Imam Zain al-Abidin is there, however he is ill. Allah has kept it that way to protect his life. Zainab salamullahi alayha needs to deal with all of this. But she's also a sister. She's also emotional. She also loves Imam al-Husayn. The children keep coming and asking, where is our father? Zainab keeps eating herself. She doesn't have anyone to go and to complain to and to relieve her heart. Ruhi fidaki ya aqilatu bani Hashim. No wonder they say when she returned to Medina, people couldn't recognize her. This is not the Zainab I know. Where is she? Why has her hair grown gray? Why is her back bent? She looks much older. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. Wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayya munqalabin munqalibun. Ya Hussein.